Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark by Lawrie Wyman and starring Leslie Phillips, Stephen Murray, and John Pertwee. Most of us think about marriage sometime. Captain Povey is married and doesn't like to think about it any time. Sub-Lieutenant Phillips thinks you can spot a married chap by the wrinkles on his forehead.
They're not wrinkles, they're marriage lines.
But romance comes to all of us eventually, even if, as in Lieutenant Commander Murray's case, you don't know about it. At this very minute, Admiral Fafont Bittux is in Captain Povey's office to discuss the future of his eager daughter, Rita.
Oh, stop beating about the bush, Povey. Is this twit Murray suitable to marry me daughter, or isn't he?
I hardly think I'd care to make a decision on that.
Do stop flanneling, Povey. When are his two character references coming to see me?
Yes, sir?
Are those two idiots from Troutbridge out there?
Yes, sir.
Well, send the fools in.
With the utmost pleasure, sir. Wow!
Got you.
Mr. Phillips, please.
Of course, I can never refuse a lady, huh?
At once, Renchason, at once.
My word, I'm sorry I missed that. It sounded fun.
Sub-Lieutenant Phillips.
No!
And CPO Pertwee to see you. Oh, and good morning, Admiral.
No!
Yes, it is a good morning now.
Really, you men are all the same.
Hello, Eva. How about me having a quick...
Don't you dare!
...cup of tea.
Right, well, that's the morning PT over. Let's get down to business. Now, I suppose you chaps know about the forthcoming engagement between Lieutenant Commander Murray and Miss Rita Fafont Bittux, my daughter.
Well, sir, we know about it. I mean, you know about it. Captain Povey knows about it. Miss Rita Bittux knows about it. But up to now, I think it's hardly unlikely that Lieutenant Commander Murray knows about it.
Well, he will. Once my daughter makes up her mind, she's just like my dear old bat of a wife. You can fight like hell, but you've had it from the off.
If you're asking my opinion, Admiral...
I'm not, so shut up, Povey. Now, you two chaps, what's your opinion of Murray? Hmm?
Well, I'd say that he was...
Steady on, Chief. We mustn't let the governor down.
Why not?
Shut up and leave this to me. Well, now, as we see him, Lieutenant Commander Murray is one of the getaway people and gives a meal man appeal. Apart from anything else, he has the added ingredient which makes budgies buzz. He's got more hops on him than any other, you see. Now, men's shirts look even better on him, and because he lives in Pinter Street, you see. He does not melt in the hands. And if you've got flu, he gives you quick relief. Yes, because he doesn't forget his fruit gums, Mum.
I mean, sir.
Povey, I think this idiot's tube's gone. Lock him up in his own blasted goggle box, will you?
Sir, I don't want to interrupt, but I am afraid I really...
No, you mustn't, Povey. You should have seen to that before we started. Right, now, there's only 10 minutes to opening time, so let's get this ghastly mess cleared up. Now, is this idiot Murray the sort of fool I can accept as a son-in-law?
Well, sir, knowing your idiosyncrasies, I say that he was a man after your own heart, sir. He drinks, of course, but not enough that he can't guide you home at the end of a jollification.
Ah, oh, now that's more blasted like it. Yeah, I like the sound of him.
Oh, good, good. Oh, that's settled. Can I be best man, sir? I've got the suit, and my father lent it to me for my own wedding.
Do shut up, Povey. Now, does this chap Murray swim? Now, that's very important.
Why, sir?
Well, I have been known to topple in the pond outside the pub on my way home.
No worries,
sir, a few years ago, I fell in the drink, and without a thought, he jumped in to save me.
That's right, sir. And I had to jump in and save the pair of them.
Oh, well, that doesn't sound so good.
No, it's just my little joke, sir. Commander Murray swims like a fish. A fried one.
I've always wanted to be the best man and read all those funny telegrams. That's why I've kept the suit.
Povey, I know exactly how you can help.
Do you, sir? What's that?
Shut your wedding cake hole. Now then, transport. Can he ride a bike?
Ride a bike?
Good. Very important, that. You see, I use it to nip down to the pub dead on opening time. But for some reason, it always takes me 2 hours to get on the blasted thing again afterwards. Then two quick whiz-rounds with me trotters, and I fall off the blasted thing again and bend me clips.
Oh, nasty.
It is, very. I want someone to lift me onto the crossbar and scoot me home, you see.
Well, I don't know whether he'd do that, sir. But I'm sure he'd be the first volunteer to give you a piggyback, sir.
Fair enough, that's settled then. The very man for me, daughter.
Right then, I'll get my suit out this evening and sponge the green mould off the lapel.
With due receptacle, sir.
What?
It may be settled as far as you are concerned, but is it settled as far as Commander Murray is concerned?
What's he got to do with it? He's meeting me daughter in Gosport High Street outside the jeweler's. Well, that should give the poor twit a clue.
Captain, greatest one, only her beneath the moon and on the sun, in the roaring traffic school.
Oh, Rita! Oh, here I am!
Stevenson's darling, there you are.
Hello, Rita.
Well, aren't you going to open the door for me?
I'd love to, dearest, but I can't quite reach the handle from here.
Well, then move nearer, you helpless old Steviekin.
Well, I can't. You've parked the rear wheel of your horse box on my foot again.
Oh, silly me. I can't be a tick.
Well, it is for me, but I doubt if it is for the gentleman who parked his rolls behind you.
Oh, don't mind him and his silly old rollers. These things happen. Oh, poor Steviekin's fortykins. And to think that Ritakins is to blame.
No. It was all my fault. I shouldn't have left my foot on the pavement. Do you mind if I sit down for a moment? My foot's beginning to come round. Oh, my word, they can throb.
Odd, isn't it? I mean, the wheel was hardly on it for a minute.
Yes. It's because it's the same one you parked on last time.
There. Now, let Ritakins massage Steviekin's poor bruised hoof. Oh, go on, oh, proud face. Sit on the car.
No. I'd rather not. It'll be all...
Sit. There you are. Now, let's have your little shoeykins off again. That's right. Now then, let's see what the damage is. I promise I won't hurt. This little piggy went to market. This little piggy stayed at home. Little piggy had... This little... Oh, what a shame.
What is it?
That naughty old Bussykins ran over Steviekin's shoe and smashed it. I'm afraid Steviekins is going to have to buy another pair.
No, that's all right. Doesn't matter, I'm wearing thick socks. We don't want to waste these precious moments together in nasty old shoe shops, do we?
Oh, how sweet. Even in your socks, you just can't wait to get into the jeweler's shop and choose it, can you?
Sorry if I don't seem to be concentrating, but sitting on that wet pavement has created a slight problem. The puddle I was in seems to have seeped through my uniform trousers to my my goodness, it is good to see you.
Well, I do see what you mean. Now everybody will know you have had a little accident.
Quite.
Still, we mustn't let it spoil our day. Now then, look in the window. I'm not sure what you had in mind, but I like the one in the tray on the right.
Oh, yes, it's very nice. But I thought you already had a travelling clock in your horse van. If you remember, it tore my trousers and gave my knee a nasty gash when it fell out of the glove pocket just before you hit the dust cart.
Red hogs. How'd they ever get a driving licence if you're mean?
Oh, isn't that odd? It's just what that boot of a dust cart driver said about you. Honestly, if I hadn't been trapped under the seat at the time, I think I'd have struck him.
Impetuous boy.
I was known as Mad Cat Murray at school. Whenever we got up the schoolboy pranks in the sixth, I was always the ringleader.
Ringleader. Trust you for the subtle approach. Now, how do you feel about that diamond solitaire? The third one on the right.
Very pretty.
Good. Then we're agreed. I'll have that one. This way, Stevie-kins.
No, just a minute. I mean, that's an engagement ring, and this is the first time I've heard about...
Doesn't Stevie-kins want to marry his Rita-kins?
Well, of course I do, Ikins. I do. It's just that I thought you'd never ask.
Now then, with the confetti blowing in an easterly direction, and eight bells ringing out the joyous news as if somebody has dropped a clangor of a lifetime, I say that what we need now is a spot of the old left-hand da-da-da-da-da-da-da da, down a bit. Left-hand da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-
sir. On the eve of this most auspicious occasion? Whatever would your intended say about that?
Intended? What's he intending?
That's no concern of ours, Mr. Peterson. That happens after the ceremony.
Look, I've just about had enough of this.
Just to think, this time tomorrow night, he'll be, a married man.
Here for one moment there, more and more in panic than wondering what the heck you were going to say, sir.
So did I. Now, will you two get into your thick heads that this engagement was entirely my own idea? I'm very fond of Miss Beatrix.
Fancy.
Yes, I, feel frightfully flattered being asked to follow you as the finest fellow on this festive occasion. And I fondly hope you become a firm favorite of the Font Bittix family, particularly of a future for father-in-law.
Come again, sir?
We wouldn't dare.
You're probably right, sir. Mr. Phillips is far too for later.
Hey there, all round, chap. Just checking up that you're all for feeling for fit. For feeling for fit. We've done all that.
As the actress said to my ecclesiastical superior.
Now, chaps, I am a little concerned about this, mission. As a chap of the cloth, I feel I must point out that it's a bit off the Admiral to order us over to Calais to collect some cheap booze for the wedding nosher.
No, no, it's quite in order, Padre. The bottles of bubbly are a gift from a colleague of my future father-in-law.
Yeah, they'll get customs clearance straight away, Padre. The crates are all marked Stevikins for the swigging of with the compliments of Daddy.
I'm not going to make very much more of this. According to the Admiral, all we have to do is to dock at Calais, pick up the crates of champagne, and get back to Portsmouth in time for my wedding.
Ah, the wedding. And that reminds me. I've been doing a bit of swatting up, and it appears unto me that when I do the bit about, do you, Stephen, something or other, take this woman, I've got to know what is the something or other.
I think the padre wants to know your second name, sir.
Yes, fair to warn.
Is this strictly necessary?
It is written that I should know your full handle.
Oh. Well, you must know.
Pardon?
I didn't quite catch that, sir.
And neither did I.
And we're all waiting, Steviekins. Oh, well, if you insist. My middle name is...
Butterfield.
Lumbered with it, I don't suppose it is. Butter for Fieldykins.
Excuse me, gents. Lieutenant Commander Murray.
I'm still here, Hoskins.
Very good, sir. Just checking. Sorry you've been troubled.
Who is that civvy? What's he doing on board?
Oh, he's private detective employed by my fiancée, Rita. Let's see if I... don't come to any harm before the wedding.
You mean to see that you get back in time for it?
No, not at all. Mind you, I think she has gone a shade too far in her concern for my safety. Nevertheless, when we get to Calais, I'm determined to have my bachelor night out.
Well, how are you going to manage to get rid of that Honorable Hoskins?
When we get to Calais, we'll all three go ashore to sign for the Admiral Champagne and... ever so slightly forget to return to the ship until I've had my evening out.
Gosh.
Fancy you taking us to the theater, Commander Mariser. The last time I went, I saw Barbara Mullen in Little Women.
Mr. Phillips, sir, judging by the posters, this evening's entertainment may be a touch different. For starters, I'd say that Boo Boo Legrand had a slightly more exaggerated appearance than Miss Mullen. And in no circumstances can she be classified as a little woman.
No, ho, ho, ho. I hope she speaks English.
Well, some people are never satisfied. Now, over this way, chaps. Excuse me, Miss, Mademoiselle Box Office Lady.
Ah, oui?
Are we what?
I certainly hope we are.
Good evening, Mr. Me, gentlemen. Three seats in the stalls, Miss, Mademoiselle Box Office Lady.
Come on, money, sir. I don't seem to have my French money wallet with me, sir.
No, it's all right, Chief. Seats are on me.
Oh, Maman. Vous êtes Commander Marie?
Yes.
That is the officer's name, madam.
Ah, he is the one you are waiting for, Mr. Hoskins.
Exactly, madam. I'm sorry, Lieutenant Commander Marie. I have a message for you.
Signal reads. Admiral Fafont Bittux to Lieutenant Commander Murray. Come out of there. I know what blasted sailors blasted are. See you in church if you value your blasted life. Blasted regards from blasted daddy kids. Message blasted ends.
How blasted kind of him. Now what do we do?
Alternative entertainment has been arranged for you, sirs. And the best of British.
Now, Quinlock, I've got to stop. I've got to stop some of your twitches, won't trot no further.
No, all right. I think we've shaken horrible Hoskins off now.
Yeah, the only thing is, where are we?
That, Mr. Phillips, as our navigating officer, is the story of your life.
Be kind to him, Commander Murray. He's used to not knowing where he is on the sea, but now he don't know where he is on land either.
If you're both quite finished, I suggest we turn left hand down a bit and have a look in this street. Now, it's called La Rue de la Thousand Lanterns.
Are you sure? I think he's right, sir. Because look, there's the sign of the swinging
zebra.
Oh, nasty. Bras is the French for arms, sir.
Lummy. If they think that, they're missing something.
Hello, big boy. And what's your cocky? You want a good time, huh?
What a wonderful command she has of the English language.
Well, this is more the sort of thing we had in mind.
Mon chéri, mon trésor, mon petit chou.
Well, if your shoes are too petite, take them off, girl.
This way, gentlemen. We go into the Moulin Rouge Café.
Only it is a cat.
Lieutenant Commander Murray and party, they're here. The table is reserved.
Hey, just a minute. How did you know Commander Murray's name?
Yeah, where did the ooh-la-la bit go then?
Perhaps I better introduce myself. I'm Mabel Clunthorpe, assistant to Mr. Hoskins. I've been trailing you ever since you thought you'd shaken off Mr. Hoskins. Pot of tea for three, buttered buns and toasted tea cakes all round. And the bill goes to Admiral for Font Buttocks.
Here come the lovely pair.
So they are. Commander Murray's with them.
Oh, I see what you mean.
After you with the rice, Chief.
If you mind, sir, I've got this from the galley, and what's more, I had to sign for it.
Why?
The cook caught me knickin' it.
Oh, I do hope they're going to take the photograph soon, or my lapels will dry out.
Yes, actually, Captain Povey, I don't think the Padre took too kindly to you giving them a quick damp down with the water from the font.
Captain Povey, I wondered if you might be of some help. I just wanted your advice as to whether my whimsical story is a little too risky for my speech at the reception.
Honestly, Padre,
you see, it all starts with this young couple, Fred and Mabel. Or was it Sid? Sid and his young lady. No, it was definitely Fred and Mabel.
Very funny, pardon me. Now, it's all excuse.
Wait a moment. I have not yet come onto the punchline. You see, after the ceremony had been duly concluded, and they came upon their first wedding night number one, Fred did say unto Mabel, "Verily, you are like a shining light from afar, and the choicest cherries upon a tree. In truth, I am so enraptured by your charms that I could eat you." And lo and behold, after 5 years had passed, Fred wished he had. Wished he had.
Now everyone in the cars and off to the hotel for the booze up. Come along, Povey. What are you doing over there?
I shan't be a minute, Admiral. I found a tap. I'm just giving my father's lapels the last sprinkle.
Well, Rita, darling, I must say the wedding seemed to go off terribly well. Mind you, what a nasty moment when you caught your veil in the offertory box. It sort of held things up a bit while the Padre tried to nail it together again.
Yes, I was so humiliated when I tried to move away and found he'd nailed my horseshoe inside it. Still, we are married at last, and from now on, I shall devote my whole life to looking after you.
Oh, good. Now, perhaps you'd like to start by taking the leg of your chair off my foot.
Oh, poor Stevikins, I'm so sorry.
Oh, no. It's entirely my fault. I shouldn't have left my foot lying around on the floor.
Oh, poor Stevikins. Now, let me take your shoe off and rub it.
No, please. No, I keep my shoe on. No. Do come out from under the table, Weetakins.
Oh, now, you two, break it up. We're only halfway through the reception.
No, Admiral. This is the permissive society. And now they have been joined one unto another, they are permissed.
They are permissed.
Hello, Mr. Murray, sir. At it already, are we? Under the table, are we? Ooh, that's got to look good in the local paper.
No, Chief. Rita's merely, rubbing my shoe.
That's a start, that, yeah. Get them domesticated. Show them who's boss.
I mean, you don't want to end up completely under the wife's thumb. Like that poor old twit Captain Pove is here.
You were saying, Chief?
I was saying I wished I was dead.
As far as your future naval career is concerned, CPO Pertwee, you are.
Of course I was.
Cheers. Bell bottoms up. Ta-da. Oh, well, that reminds me. It's time I damped down my lapels again.
Weetakins, never mind my shoe. For goodness sake, come and sit up at the table. Mr. Phillips wants to make his speech and read the telegrams.
Friends and guests and relatives and...
Admiral!
Thanks very much, yes. It falls to me, as a bachelor, to give you some advice. Now, after looking at the happy pair... the happy pair. And wondering what it's like. To be married, I mean. Because there are very few bachelors that are, you know. And which reminds me of a story. Which I seem to have forgotten, really. So, if you don't mind, I'll read the telegram. Thanks so much, Padre. The telegram is from Commander Weatherby at Naval Security and reads...
Today's the night. I've shot the stork, so you're all right. Assigned commander, and assigned me.
Right then, that's the end of the telegrams. Let's get the booze flowing again.
Excuse me. But has anybody noticed? The booze seems to have run out. Perhaps the bottle's bleaked.
And I think we all know where they bleed.
I'm sorry, Pardon. I'm sure it's never demand, but I'll have a bit of a nap.
Good night. Excuse me. I represent Our Majesty's Customs, and according to our records, several crates of champagne left France. Aboard HMS Troutbridge, for this year due. According to our accounts, the Admiral owes us the sum of £127.10.
Oh, that's all right. A muddy pay, the idiot.
What?
Come on, fair's fair. I got the champagne for nothing. The least you can do is pay for the duty. Well, look, think of it as your dowry, Murray. Right, fill them up all round and mine's the first glass. All right, waiter! Thank you.
with the assistance of Leslie Phillips and John Pertwee, Stephen Murray has been getting spliced in The Lady Lark, written by Laurie Wyman. Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Stephen Murray was the CO, Captain Povey was played by Richard Caldicott, Rita was Heather Chasen, the Admiral was Tenniel Evans, and the Padre was played by Michael Bates. The show was produced by Alistair Scott Johnston.